Has there been a rise in the number of vocations to the priesthood and religious life over the past year or so, or is it dropping?
The good news is that the numbers entering English and Welsh seminaries has risen year on year for the last few years, and in September 2010, the entry was the largest in a decade. And that trend seems to be consistent, so that for September 2011, we'd be looking at a further increase, we suspect.
And what sort of numbers are we talking about?
The numbers are still relatively low. We're talking about 56 people who entered seminary for the Dalsum priesthood in September 2010. But if you look back to 2001, there were just 26 people who entered. So this is a significant increase over the decade. However, if you then go back into the early 90s, you had 120 people entering. So I'd say that we are making progress rather than we've arrived at where we'd like to be.
Do you think Pope Benedict's pastoral visit to England and Scotland in September last year could have proved a boost, could provide a boost?
There's no question that the Holy Father's visit was a great boost to the whole Catholic community and indeed to the country. It will certainly have an effect of encouraging people to go to seminary. And as I said, we're looking at an increase, a further increase this September. It's going to be very difficult to analyse what is due to the pastoral visit of the Holy Father and what's due to that general increase we're seeing. But it's certainly going to be a factor in helping the numbers entering seminary to increase. And I'd like to add to that the numbers also entering religious congregations. We mustn't forget that, of course, the question of encouraging vocations to religious life is very important too, both those that are lead to ordination in congregations of men, religious brothers and religious sisters and nuns, and all of those are beginning to experience an increase as well. We have anecdotal evidence, for example, that some congregations who've perhaps not seen many people in the last 10 years have perhaps had 6 or 10 inquiries in the last 6 months. That could well be due to the visit of the Holy Father.
You said, however, that the numbers for vocations is still low. So are we saying that the number of people coming forward to be priests or religious is not enough to replace those who retire or die?
The question of replacement is a very difficult one because it's to do with age as well. And in the past, the numbers of those being ordained in their 20s was much higher than now. There is some evidence to suggest that actually, if you look at the actual numbers of ordinations, those numbers have not changed. What has changed is the fact that people are being ordained 10 years later, so they give 10 years less service. So there's a complex mathematical formula there that we haven't quite yet worked out.
And what are you doing to actively encourage vocations, both to the priesthood and to the consecrated life?
The approach that the Church in England and Wales is taking now and has really consolidated, I think, in the last 12 months, is that we must view the task of the Church generally as being to help people to discern their vocation rather than to recruit them to seminaries or novitiates. So if we set out to say to people, as the Holy Father said to the young people of England and Wales during his visit, what kind of a person do you want to be? Then we can offer them support in answering that question, and from that will come more vocations to marriage, to the priesthood, to religious life. It's a sort of win-win situation, really. Whereas I think what has not been fruitful in the contemporary church, say, since the 90s and the 2000s, has been an attempt to recruit people. They kind of recoil from that. But there is a lot of evidence to say that if we set out there genuinely to offer people help, then more people will find that God is calling them to the priesthood and the religious life.
And when you talk to people who are, you know, contemplating or considering whether they have a vocation or not, what do you find when you talk to these people are the reasons that make most of them hesitate or have doubts before embracing a vocation?
I think it's the entire culture that they grow up in that is not attentive to the supernatural dimension. The sense that the supernatural dimension is an optional extra, and that why would anybody, you know, want to get involved in that if they didn't have to? That cultural atmosphere makes it very difficult for a young person to have strong conviction that Christ is calling them to a particular way of life. So I think it's not a question of blame. It's a question of, if you like, this is now the native culture that we live in Britain, which is one of the most secular countries in Europe. But I also think it is a forerunner of where most of the church in Europe is going to be heading. And I think that's why the Holy Father so valued his visit to this country, because he knows that the church in Britain has always been a creative minority We've been that for centuries now. And we've found new ways to be that creative minority within a secular culture. Having done so for many years within a Protestant culture, now we're doing it within a secular culture and finding, of course, that the Protestant churches are now our allies in how to proclaim the gospel in a secular culture. And I think that all of Europe is going to have to learn to do that in time.
Well, as you say, we live in a secular culture. Yet despite this, there has been, as you say, a slight but steady increase in vocations over the past 5 years or so compared to the real, should we say, the trough. What do you attribute that to, you know, given that society is probably getting more and more secular?
Yeah, I think that's the really interesting thing, is that with the growth of secularism, the numbers of entering seminaries has grown. And that's sort of counterintuitive. I think it's because the church has learnt how to live in this culture. I think also that move towards discernment rather than recruitment has been crucial. And I also think that the church in Britain has managed to put behind it the worst difficulties of the sexual abuse scandals. And I think that the fact that we have very robust child protection procedures here that are affirmed very positively, even by the church's sternest critics, all of that has helped to put the Catholic Church in Britain on a very firm foundation to face what is undoubtedly going to be a difficult future. But I think we're facing it with a sense that we have our feet firmly planted on the ground and our hearts firmly in heaven.
And briefly, what special activities are you planning to mark this day of prayer for vocations?
Well, the innovation we've put forward this year from the National Office for Vocation is a project called Vocation Voices. And what we've done is we've trained up people aged under 35 all around the country to speak at Mass on this Vocation Sunday. And that project's gone really very well. We've trained up over 100 people now all around the country. All young and enthusiastic. Some are young married people, some are single, some are novices or seminarians, but they all have a heart to speak about vocation and to encourage our congregations to reflect on what is God calling them to, but above all, that our parishes should be places that nurture that sense, that culture of vocation. So encouraging parents to be open to their children having a vocation to priesthood and religious life, to encourage married people to realize that theirs is a vocation, to invite those who've not yet chosen a path in life to be open to the call to the religious life and the priesthood.